Hello everyone, and welcome to the January contest recording. This is a workshop round, which usually means I give a little bit more depth than usual. That may or may not happen. Kinda had a rough week, but whatever. Time to go to the word file and blow all of your minds. Not really, but we can try. First up on the list today is TLM. I'm so-so on this one. I really love the execution of stanza headers that flow to connect to a bigger picture. I did it in MCF 12, and I just love it when someone else throws it in my face. There was also the broken haiku thing going on here, which was interesting. The rest, however, not quite there for me. I felt like I was just being told things. I wasn't experiencing that typical TLM energy, and quite frankly, I wasn't experiencing that typical TLM wordsmithing. My 8th grade teacher once had a banner that read, "Life is poetry is life." And you brought some little tweaks to the yard this month, but I don't feel like you injected life into the imagery or the message of your piece. Utora. Your line breaks here just bug the shit out of me. A break, in my opinion, is one of the cornerstones of poetic power. If you drop it at the right moment, it can make your piece. But if you drop it at the wrong spot, it drives the flow into a ditch. Let me just ask you something here. Having heard that little tirade, do you think ending a line with "in" and "the" helps form a concrete vision in a reader's mind? Do you think those words deliver power at the end of said line? Well, I sure as shit do not. There are also some missing punctuation marks here that I think could also help the power of your delivery. Those things being aside, though, you really brought some great imagery, and your storytelling skills have shown brightly in this round, along with other this season. And there's really not a whole lot for me to complain about here, aside from what I just ranted. I definitely, just reflecting upon what I've seen in the other pieces that you all have yet to hear about, the imagery that you brought with this one definitely stood out in my mind. And I think that is a big plus, so thumbs up for that. Hana Mizushio. This piece had a catchy flow to it. A big positive, but not enough. I'll be honest with you, this piece made zero sense to me. You even explained it in your PM, and I still don't feel it conveys what you are trying maybe to have it convey. There are potential subjects that you could use in this to build a decent piece, but as it stands, I'm not feeling any impact. I read the lines, say, "Okay then," and that's about it. It doesn't make me think, it doesn't make me reflect, it doesn't paint a picture, it just doesn't help me relate to your inner thoughts. It's kind of sitting there. And to further go into it, I'm going to go back to the description that you gave me in the PM, which was, "Fear is inevitable to come to a human whose heart is filled with sorrows and sadness. When failure always cling with the madness of no progression in the midst of fast production. Clouded only with fear, everything must always fail, for the burden in the heart is heavier than the crane. Just an insight as to what fearful humans have inside them." And now, this is where I rip into it a little bit. Where in your poem do you describe the inevitability of fear? You don't. Where do you dig deep into the emotions of sorrow and sadness? Where do you even mention the heart, and I don't even know where the crane comes in? You don't talk about fear at all, and your reference to clouded has nothing to do with fear. At least not in the way you've written it. You wrote it in a manner that it was attached to objectives. Now, since this is a workshop round, I'm also going to touch a little bit more upon your final point, and that is essentially your mindset as a poet. You've written about a detached third party, essentially. You haven't tapped your experiences of fear, and because that dimension is missing from your mindset, it's completely missing from your poem. Depth, absolutely essential. It's needed. So, saying all this, these are the things that I have you to take away. 1. Make sure that the way you use your language conveys what you want it to convey. Your description, in my opinion, doesn't match the piece in the slightest. In addition, you don't bring a lasting impact, so you need to work a little bit harder at getting the message in there and having it mean something to the reader. It's one thing when you're writing for yourself. So I'm just going to float that out there. But you submitted it to me. So you may have known the message because you wrote it. But when you send it in, there has to be enough in there to carry the message without having you have the need to include a paragraph that's twice as long as the poem itself. That's pretty much a giant no-no. 2. Before pulling the empathy bug and writing third-party style, embrace your emotions first and write them into your poetry. It will help make for a far more interesting and entertaining read. 3. More grammatically speaking, work on your punctuation as well. The comma in the first line really shouldn't be there. If anything, it should be at the end of the second. Now, I know with poetry there is this tendency to just say grammar rules no longer apply, but punctuation can still be useful to help guide your reader through all of the crazy nonsense that comes along with, you know, poetic justice. Yeah, I said poetic justice. What the hell now? I'll tell you what, I'm going to move down to Solar and give her a critique. Solar, there are a few grammatical shits in here. Some inconsistency in capitalization, comma usage, and tense problems are the ones that I banked. I'm glad you got something in for this round, even if it was for the Colosseum. You captured an image, I commend that. But my big complaint here is this doesn't read at all like a poem. It really just has the marks of prose. Sometimes, that's not really a problem, but in this case, I found that many of your line breaks were just kind of conveniently placed periods and commas. Or even worse, just there because it made it look like a poem. That's just lazy. I don't really know what else to say about it. It feels like you just kind of constructed it that way to make it look like it was a piece of poetry when it's not so much. Well, that's all I really have to say about that one. Just try better. I know you were busy, and I know this was used for the Colosseum, so it wasn't for me. It was for PK. And that's okay. I still love you. I'm just going to scroll down now. Loveless Butterfly. First off, spelling errors. Beyond unacceptable in this day and age. It only takes hitting F7 or even having a good web browser to pick out those red squiggly lines that say to you, huh, shit, something's wrong. You also have some wrong word issues in here too, and that is just something that needs to be targeted. First off, having gone through all that grammatical crap tidbit, so I guess it's really second off, I gotta hit up the hook a little bit. It's not very exciting. It doesn't draw me in, introduce me to any of your characters, or tell me where the piece is going. You just give historical babble, which is only a small, minuscule portion of the tale. But it still doesn't do anything for you. This needs to change to something more engaging and more directly related to the story you're trying to write. Reading through this, I feel there's a huge problem that I need to discuss. Presentation is almost everything in writing. If you execute poorly, people won't care, and I can honestly say it was a chore to get through this page. I'm not saying this to discourage you, I'm just being brutally honest. I feel as though nothing actually happened in this. Even parts that contained action seemed as if they were being told from an out-of-body experience. Problem with that, it's not very engaging, and it leaves me feeling, well, bored and empty. You need to clean up the spelling, keep the punctuation correct, which means drop those double dots and overused ellipses, and start using standard commas or a dash if you want to be fancy. Next, make sure what you're writing is engaging. You have to edit from a base knowledge perspective. I have a feeling, since you knew what was to come, that you just kind of rolled your way through this opener to get to the good stuff. I'm pretty sure everyone in this thread is guilty of that at some point, including myself. I can tell you from experience, though, the result of that is that it just isn't refined, and it offers no insight into what's to come or why I should care. And also, and then I went to bed? No. Not a good way to hit the conclusion. I'm a huge fan, at least when I'm writing essays or some junk, a conclusion should leave you speechless, and if it doesn't do it, something's messed up. It's not always true, because obviously with stories there's a wide variety, but that's far, 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 far from the standard you should be aiming for. When you conclude a piece, I should be sitting there going, hell yeah, not, oh, I went to bed. You got that with me? Awesome. Scrolling on down. Sark. This certainly had some good imagery attached. There are some mistaken words in here and a few places where I found your capitalization usage to just be wrong. The biggest issue I feel, though, is that you try to cram too much into the confines of a sentence. You attempt to maintain the rules of punctuation, which is a plus, but in that effort, you also manage to break things up a hell of a lot with commas that just make for a hella awkward read. I also think having stanzas here at natural breakpoints would have been helpful. You kind of just gave me a massive block of text, which adds to reading difficulties. While you painted some nice pictures here, I also find that it's a little haphazard in the sense that things don't necessarily point to the same message, and there are places in which I felt the pull of tangential images, and when that happens, I felt distracted. On the plus side, I feel like you injected emotion into this. The images you painted were certainly there and very powerful, and that's awesome. I mean, that's what I've been looking for, and certainly having read through a lot of other poems this round, I was waiting for this, and that was pretty awesome. More scrolling. Sarah. There are some little bits of imagery in here, but the physicist in me is going apeshit crazy. Asteroids definitely do not undergo supernova reactions. You're submitting to a physicist, you should know this one was coming. I'm seeing this following point from a lot of poems this round. While this piece feels, you know, has more feels, you didn't pull the trigger on the full impact. You talk about feeble wishes, and this shooting star, you know, wanting to wish upon itself, but you didn't touch upon the full extent of those consequences and feelings. There's the potential undercurrent of sorrow that you just completely neglected, and it could have made the piece a hell of a lot better, a hell of a lot more engaging, and a hell of a lot more powerful. I also found your second stanza to be a little bit, well, full of baggage. You didn't convey why noticing matters, and from the looks of it, it had no consequence at all. Same thing with a stanza about matter, just kind of there, but doesn't really serve a purpose. It's good here that we're discussing higher order things. I just feel you could have done a little bit better job embracing the emotion of poetry when you wrote this piece out, because there's a whole swell of potential that you could have tapped into, would have made shit awesome. More scrolling. The other man over there. There are a lot of things I could touch upon with this work. For starters, this needed a heck of a lot more editing. There's a lot of word repetition throughout the paragraph that somewhat dulls the impact. In terms of creativity and originality, the subject matter is also a point to think about. This has been done over and over and over again. There's nothing wrong with using a cliche storyline. Tales are repeated a lot, but it's still up to the author to put some original spin on it, and I'm not seeing it here. It's predictable in almost every facet. The language, the action, the death. On a plus side, I think you have a handle on a lot of the grammatical things that some people in this round have let slip to the side. However, there were definitely a few awkward bits. Having a he and her comparison came off slightly strange to me, as opposed to he and she. Then there was a then versus then issue as well. Still, I have to return to the points on predictability and, ironically, repetition. It's just not entertaining to read through something you already have a total handle on. And it's also somewhat boring to read the same set of words over and over again. Think about this when constructing your pieces, and there will be much improvement to be had. Ramika. This poem has a lot of the same issues that Hannah's did. We could debate some commas in here, namely the second line, and talk about singular versus plural issues, increase, flourish, for example. I also think that your turning vanity is necessary line needs a little tweaking. While this piece certainly has a more consolidated message, I have to challenge you a bit and ask what's the point of it. I feel like the natural flow of the work is to start saying tech is meant to be a godlike source of information, but it was still something that is created and limited by the human experience. In that case, which is what I take from it, I feel this piece needs a bit of work. Ending on a line that just comes off as somewhat childish for me, I feel, you know, the play on vanity, as it could sit counter the whole godlike thing set up in the first stanza. Something to think about. Could have definitely driven a nail on the topic there. There's a lot going on here, But I think you need to boost the imagery, do some editing on the grammatical side, and hone in your word choice to deliver more impact. It's a good entry, so I'm not dissing it. I think there was a lot here you put into it. You had the consolidated message. It was there. I got it. I'm with you. But you could have chosen your words a bit better to make it a little bit more powerful, boastful, whatever you want to go with. I mean, part of the thing with poetry for me, and now I'm kind of going into general rant mode, is that you want, you know, your reader to have the feels, right? Or, not necessarily the feels, but the thinks. And this poem kind of did it, but it just scratched the surface. I feel with a little bit more word choice, perhaps a little bit boosting of imagery, maybe some more examples or whatever, you could have, busted it out. I got totally confused. Ending the line on that, as in the end of the second stanza. That's what I was talking about, just so you know. Total brain fart, but it came back to me. Awesome. Now then, the question of who wins this round. This is a little bit tricky for me, because I've kind of gone back and forth, even in the course of this recording. I feel like it's kind of a tiebreaker moment between Utora and Sark. And I'm going to sit there, and I'm going to think about it. I'm still thinking about it. Maybe I'll sing a song. How is everyone doing today? This is a good question. You know what? I think I'm going to go with Sark on this one. There were problems, both your pieces. Sark kind of came in, slipped in there. I like the imagery. That's what I'm going with. Sorry, Utara. Close, though. And you wrote a poem, which is badass. And that being said, digging down deep, you know what's coming. I'm worn out from physics. Can you tell? Not my crazy self. But I kind of am, because I've had a lot of caffeine. Get the hell off my audio file, you goddamn hippies.